Yeah, I completely agree with you.
I have to disagree with you. Can I disagree with you with all my heart?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Whoa. Okay, so...
Gosh, you know, it's interesting. No one's ever asked me this question before, and I'm saying this for the first time, and it's kind of fascinating.
Crazy, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, am I totally screwed or what?
Yes!
Welcome to Portrait of a Business. I'm your host, Del Williams.
For over 20 years, Cameron Herald has been coaching, speaking to, and helping entrepreneurs on five continents build their companies. He started Back Pocket COO to be able to coach and mentor young, fun companies and help them make their dreams happen. Cameron Herald is one of the country's most innovative business leaders and was a leading force behind one of the most successful new business ventures of the last decade, 1-800-JUNK. He was chief operating officer for nearly 7 years, and his innovative business leadership helped enable the company build a presence in 46 states, 9 provinces, and 4 countries while being ranked the second best company to work for in Canada by Canadian Business Magazine and the number one company in BC to work for twice by BC Business Magazine. During his tenure, numerous MBA programs studied the company, including the prestigious programs at Queen's University and Harvard. Let's welcome him today.
Welcome, Cameron, to the show, The Portrait of a Business. Now tell me, you are a business coach who specializes in entrepreneurs and so what that have a certain revenue coming in. How did you come up with that?
Sure. And thanks for having me, Del. It's funny, I'm actually probably more of a business mentor than a business coach. And I think I'm starting to come to terms with what true pure coaching is and what real mentoring is. I don't actually ask tons and tons of questions to help people uncover for themselves. What I do is listen to what they're working on and try to give them very experiential feedback based on the number of businesses that I've either helped build personally or that I've been assisting and mentoring over the last number of years. So how I came up with doing it was just really looking at what my unique ability was and digging down to the core of what I love to do every day, which is helping entrepreneurs make their dreams happen.
Okay, so as a business mentor, what do you do? What does that mean?
I work with them on, work with the CEOs or entrepreneurs on looking at where their business is today and where it's going, looking at the current state of the business, their current team, any of the projects they're currently working on, and helping them build the proper strategic plan to grow the business 3 years out, helping them put the proper team members in place so that they can actually grow the business, helping them put proper meeting rhythms and structures in place so that they can support the team and grow as fast as possible while making as much money at doing it, leveraging technology, really anything that any business would need and that typically maybe a higher paying chief operating officer is going to come in with the experience to do. I'm in their back pocket and they pull me out either as needed or on our every 2 week phone calls that we have.
Cool. Now, you tend to work with people of a certain financial level. Was that a conscious choice that you made to do that, or was that something that just you knew better or you fell into or what?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was conscious in that I really wanted to design my business to work only with entrepreneurs who were young, fun, entrepreneurial, high viral and high growth companies. So that started to put them into a certain revenue category. And then also the ideas that I tend to work with companies on, they need to have a team of people in place that they're starting to grow and a business that has a product or a service that's proven that they want to be able to grow. So I typically work with clients that are in the $3 to $4 million range at the smallest level, and my largest client's about $200 million in revenue. Although I've just been hired to coach the leadership team of British Aerospace, and they're I don't know how many billion, $23 billion company or something crazy.
That's pretty cool. Now, what separates you? I mean, although I can probably answer it myself, what separates you from others who call themselves business mentors?
Partially it's that I'm a serial entrepreneur and I've built 4 companies back to back. I'm the highest rated lecturer at MIT's entrepreneurial master's program, and all of my content is based on experience, not theory. I don't have an MBA. I don't have, a degree from some great university. My experience is all based from the School of Hard Knocks of having built brands and strong companies. We built a company that was rated the number 2 company in all of Canada to work for. Built another brand that was operating in 46 states, 9 provinces, and 4 countries. And took it from $2 million to $120 million with no debt, no outside shareholders. So it's really based on the experience, multiple companies. You know, it's not a flash in the pan, and it's not based on theory. So I'm sitting working with people that are similar. Typically, EO members or YPO members are really my category of client as well, and working with them on stuff that I've already done.
Okay, because of the level that you deal with, what is probably one of the main things you see that people consistently do that you have to go in and kind of help them get out of?
It's all focus. Consistently what I see at every level of entrepreneur and CEO is the big shiny object. You know, they get distracted by the cool new idea or the great book they just heard about or the conference they went to that had 12 great speakers that were all talking about random topics that didn't necessarily fit their strategic plan for the year, or that cool TED video that came that just rocked their world. The reality is most companies tend to lose focus because of either opportunities or lack of good planning or lack of good goal setting. It's actually, there's a great company that I've uncovered called Teamly, TEAMLY.com, and it's all about just setting your daily top five priorities. It has nothing to do with anything else other than waking up in the morning and working on the most impactful things instead of the most urgent things.
That makes sense. I know that's been a real big thing that a lot of people have been talking about is focus. That seems to be the big thing, that people do go off on these tangents. Do you think part of it could be because they really haven't got a clear vision of what they want, or they have the vision, but like you said, they go after the shiny object?
I think it's both. I think part of it is they don't necessarily have a clear vision, what I call the painted picture of the future, so they really know 3 years out what they're working towards and make decisions aligned with that. But I think it really comes down more so to how busy everyone is with our personal lives and our business lives, and how much you know, the internet and email and has started to kind of pervade our business world and distract us. So everything's coming at us faster, and we're being overwhelmed with, you know, as Jim Collins in Good to Great talks about the important many things. We're getting overwhelmed by those important many instead of focusing on the critical few. You know, the average CEO is probably getting 100 to 150 emails a day and trying to stay on top of that instead of waking up in the morning and working on their most critical projects and getting to email when they get around to it, which is much more focused.
Okay.
So even if you have that real clear picture of where you're going or that clear vision, there's still so many distractions throughout the day.
Makes sense. Now, how have you been able to use, I met you through Twitter. Has Twitter helped you in some way with what you do, or how does your being on social media, how has it helped you?
It's helped me in a few ways. I mean, I've been on Twitter for almost 3 years now. I've been on LinkedIn for, over a dozen, Facebook since the earliest days as well. And I use all of them as very, very different, for different purposes. I only add people on Facebook and LinkedIn who I've actually met in person. If I've talked to them on the phone or Skype, I don't add them. I don't add them until we've actually had a face-to-face coffee. And I don't know why that is, but it feels like the way it works best for me. Twitter, I just have, you know, thousands of followers, and I follow lots. I could go on Twitter. I wrote a blog post about how I use it, but I use it for connecting, asking questions, learning from some others at random times, learning from some specific people on specific things. I don't really use the Twitter feed as much as I use some of the tools in the background to search and scan for specific words or projects or areas that I'm working on. So for me, I'm using it to expand my network. My nickname is Connector. So Twitter is just kind of a normal application of my day-to-day connections.
That makes sense. A person who aspires to hire you, how would they go about doing that? I think one of the people I interviewed last week was talking about how only 5% of companies are over $1 million in revenue. So how do you become part of that 5%?
Focus. Focus, faith, and effort. It's interesting. Like, I've built a lot of companies from scratch and helped others do it, and I've watched tons do it. It really comes down to very, very clear focus. And it's one of the reasons why Twitter is getting in the way of some people's businesses, is they think that reading a stream of random thoughts from random people is going to help them. Or it's not. Like, it's not going to help you. It's so random. You know, it's like grabbing random articles from the newspaper and reading it. That's why the newspapers are such a legacy way of growing. People are going to grow their business to a million plus by sitting down and having very clear goals, by putting a return on investment target in place for every interaction. So if you're going to spend an hour on Twitter, how much of a return on investment for that time do you expect to get? If you're going to spend time or money on a marketing brochure or a website or a sales page, how much time are you going to get, or how much money are you going to get? And really kind of staying focused on that stuff. And then it's literally that every quarter, every week, every day, setting your top five priorities of what you're going to work on that are going to drive your yearly goals forward. I have a friend here in Vancouver who's trying really hard to build an online business, and she's not making any money at it. She's probably 2.5 years into it, and she thinks she's doing well, but the reality is 98% of her revenue come from one person paying her, in effect, a salary to help him run his business. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, people are banging their head against the wall. You need real clear vision of what you're building, really clear goals, and a lot of focus to keep you kind of just working on those core things. And then I use social media to help me connect with people who can tell me what to do in a faster way. Now, there's a lot of people out there that have already solved it. So if I can do what they've done or do what they tell me, it makes it go faster.
That makes sense. Are there some situations where maybe some people have, you know, that passion? Everybody's always talking about you have to have a passion for what you do. They have a passion for something, but it doesn't turn a profit, or they don't know how to monetize it, or they're bad at business.
Yeah, there is that, and there's also I forget the exact saying, but you know, you're on that edge of either being a complete genius or, you know, someone with obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, you're either gonna be Einstein and proven right that your theory works or your idea is brilliant, or you're gonna go bankrupt waiting for it to happen. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have had, you know, the 700 people tell you no, and the 701st one says okay. But at some point, you know, you need to be able to pay your bills and pay your kids' education. And so I'm probably a little bit more conservative than the real pure risk taker. And I think that is what really makes a lot of good entrepreneurs great, or the masses great, is that we're able to take calculated risks. I think it's a very, very, very lucky that, you know, get the 700 no's and hit it out of the park.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember one of the first things that Kathy Arling taught me was always do your due diligence.
Yeah.
And stuff before you actually get in there and start doing things, do your due diligence and know what you're doing and where you're going.
Yeah, and maybe you're onto the right thing, but if 600 people say no to you, maybe you could come up with a second idea. And only five will say no to you. Like, maybe there's a path of least resistance instead of that hardest path for some. But I think for most entrepreneurs, it's that they don't focus. They're not really, you know, taking the best advice from the best people. You know, there's some brilliant companies that have already done a great job with figuring everything out. Just do what they did instead of trying to figure it out yourself.
Okay, and wrapping it up, our final question. What do you see yourself doing in 5 years?
In 5 years, I'm actually have a nonprofit that I'm going to be starting, which takes single moms, kids off the street, and the physically disabled who have business ideas, and helping to incubate those businesses and get them up and running. Quite often, I find that there's, you know, people that maybe have got a great idea, have got the right work ethic, have got the right focus, but they just need some help. They just need some connections. And I can pull all those together to help get a whole bunch of businesses started. And I want to be able to do that because I don't need the money to come in when I have it coming in from all the other sources that I have.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Cameron, for being with us. Now, where can people get a hold of you?
Sure. My website and my blog are at backpocketcoo.com. It has my contact information up there as well.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Del. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for joining us on Portrait of a Business today. We hope that you found our tips and advice from our guests to be helpful to you. And please do not hesitate to contact us. You can look at our site, portraitofabusiness.info, for more information.